It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the book of Acts, we've been through chapter 19 up to this point. And in chapter 19, we talked about copycats. We talked about seven sons found in Acts chapter 19, verses 14 and 15. It says, "And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so." And once again, verse 13, part of that verse, it tells about trying to cast out demons. And then in verse 15, it goes on to say, "And the evil spirit answered and said," now this is to Sceva's sons, the evil spirit said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" Well, the result of these copycats who are trying to imitate a man of God here, in Acts chapter 19, verse 16, it says, "And the man in whom the evil spirit, was, leaped on them, and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." Seven sons and this one person overcame them. That's because this person was demon-possessed. And then we've also seen that there was a book burning in chapter 19. Chapter 19 of Acts in verse 19 says, "Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." And I have no idea of what that price would, what this would be worth today. Many more times than $50,000. And once again, it would be astronomical. Well, and then we saw some worshipers. And of course, this was the wrong worship. They were worshiping the supposed goddess Diana. In Acts chapter 19, verse 35, it says, "And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, 'You men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter?'" These people were image worshipers. They were worshiping not the true God, but so-called gods that they looked up to. And this was a goddess, the goddess Diana. Of course, there was no such person or no such goddess. And then we saw that the man who had fallen asleep during a sermon, well, he fell asleep and he died. There is a danger of falling asleep when you're listening to the voice of God. And this man found that to be true. You see, in the building where Paul was preaching, many believers were assembled together, the Bible tells us. And not only was it crowded, but it was probably very warm because of the lamps that were burning. Acts chapter 20, verse 8 talks about that. It was also past most people's bedtimes. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Well, one man, perhaps because of the heat and the lateness of the hour, fell asleep and fell down three stories to the floor below. Acts chapter 20 and verse 9 talks about that. Well, as the believers took him up, they found that the man was dead. Acts chapter 20 and verse 9. Well, when Paul found out what had happened, according to chapter 20, verses 10 through 12, it says, "And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, 'Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him.' When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted." Well, this was a miracle of God. The man had fallen, and he died, and a miracle of God, the breath of life came back to him. Well, there is only one other example of miraculous restoration of life through an apostle, and this is cited, that of Tabitha, and this was through Peter. Acts chapter 9, verse 41, it says, "And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive." Well, of course, Peter didn't bring this person to life. It was God, of course. And Paul did not raise this young man from the dead as such, but God performed that miracle. It was through God that these people lived. Well, now we look in Acts chapter 20, verses 13 through 38, where we pick up from the last time that we were together. And we see something taking place here, traveling from Troas to Miletus. There was a meeting, and there was boarding, and there was an avoiding, if I could put it that way. First, I've got the word hoofing here, the hoofing, H-O-O-F-I-N-G. That means they were walking. Paul walked from Troas to Assos by foot, and his companions sailed by ship. I don't know if Paul just liked walking or I don't know why he was doing it. Maybe it was so he could come into contact with more people along the way. I don't know. Acts chapter 20 and verse 13 says, "And we went before to ship." These are the other people now that traveled with Paul. And it says, and they sailed unto Assos, there attending to take in Paul, for so had he appointed minding himself to go afoot. In other words, this is where they would meet him. And then we see that in Acts chapter 20 and verse 14, that Paul joins the others at Assos, or Assos, however you want to pronounce that word, A-S-S-O-S, and boards a ship. And he came to Mytilene, and this is Greece. Acts 20, verse 14, and when he met us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. Well, Assos, A-S-S-O-S, this is an ancient city of Mysia, and this is in the Roman province of Asia, and it's Greek. Well, today it's called Bekrum, and this is under Turkish rule. Aristotle, the great philosopher, lived 3 years there from 348 to 345 B.C., and of course, that has nothing to do with the Word of God. It's just history. Well, Mytilene, this is Greek, and it's a town and a former municipality on the island of Lesbos. And this is in the North Aegean Sea, of course, and it's Greece. Well, since the 2011 local government reform, it is part of the municipality of Lesbos, which it is a municipal unit. Well, once again, this is nothing to do with the Word of God. It's just simply stating the fact that I said it has nothing to do with it, doesn't it? The Word of God is proof, once again, that these places existed, that this is part of Paul's journey as he was on his missionary voyages and journeys as he went along. Well, we see here that once again in Acts chapter 20 and verse 15, it says, "And we sailed thence, and came the next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trogyllium. And the next day we came to Miletus." Well, Trogyllium, this is the name of a town and promontory. And this is, once again, that means a point of land. Ionia. Some of these words is hard to pronounce for me, but God knows the words. And I trust that, once again, that what I'm saying, maybe it'll spark something within you that you'll study some history. And I think this is one thing that we people of the world, and especially in America, have gotten away from, and that is a study of history, of going back and looking at where we came from, our ancestors, and how our country was founded. And once again, these names that are in the Bible, look them up and get a map and look back and see where Paul had gone to on these missionary journeys that he was on. And we see that this place, Trogyllium, once again, the name of the town, it was the name of the town, it's a point of land, and it's in Asia Minor. It's between Ephesus and the mouth of the Meander. In other words, that's a river, and it was opposite to Samos. Well, we look on now in verse 16, and we see that Ephesus was bypassed. In other words, it was avoided here. Paul decided to sail past Ephesus because he wanted to be in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Verse 16 of Acts chapter 20, it says, "For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem, the day of Pentecost." Well, notice once again now as we move on in chapter 20, we see that there was a meeting with the Ephesian elders here. And what's going to take place here is that Paul's going to recount his traveling. In other words, his journeys. He's going to tell people what happened. And the elders were summoned. Once again, in Acts chapter 20, verse 17, it says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." He called for the elders. That was Paul. He called for the elders. And we see here that Paul's laborers were reviewed. In other words, he told the elders what had happened, what was going on as he was traveling. Acts chapter 20, verse 18, it says, "When they were come to him, he said unto them," this is to the elders, "You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." Once again, he had served the Lord respectfully, in humility. And we also see that he was emotionally drained. And we keep reading and we see the tears that he cried, and he was so burdened for the lost. And in spite of the threats in Acts chapter 20 and verse 19, the temptations and the possibility to quit and run away because of Jews waiting for a chance to kill him, he didn't quit. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 19, it says, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." They were trying to kill him all the way along. I mean, the devil wants to kill people who are serving God. And once again, Paul was serving God, and the devil wanted to kill him. Well, notice here that the Jews and Greeks were instructed in Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. Paul taught publicly. It wasn't a secret. And he also taught house to house, both Jews and Gentiles, in other words, Greeks. He taught them, he spoke about repentance and with changing the mind about God, recognizing God for who he is, putting trust, and that means faith in Jesus instead of idols and false gods. He's recounting these things to these elders now of what took place on his journey. Acts chapter 20, verses 20 and 21, it says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." And once again, Paul did nothing in secret. Not only would he be talking to the elders, but there would be other people present who would hear what Paul had been doing. And once again, I believe that when we hear of what someone else is doing for the Lord, it just spurs us on. It just gives us the courage to keep on keeping on. And I believe this is another reason Paul was recounting what had taken place in his life on these missionary journeys. Well, one other thing that we'll speak of before we close this lesson is Paul spoke of his future. He was bound, according to Acts chapter 20, verses 22 through 23. It says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide with me." In other words, Paul knew that it was not going to be an easy journey as he went to Jerusalem. But Paul was willing to go because he loved the Lord and he wanted to see people come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know him today as your Savior, have a change of mind. Repent, turn, and ask God to save you. Change your mind. In other words, knowing that, believing in faith that God can save you because you are a sinner, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who were lost. You're lost. Call upon him today and he'll save you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.